In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Now, many of you, as her popularity has risen, may think that Betty White is the best thing since sliced bread. However, that is not true. And you may wonder why that's not true. Well, it's not a knock to Betty White. It's because Betty White was born 5 years before the invention of sliced bread. Well, we think about bread as just been what it has been forever. A bread is a staple food. It in fact has been around for nearly 15,000 years. Both bread and beer, in fact, predated the cultivation of wheat. It is probably the demand for both that led, in fact, to the cultivation of grains, which of itself led to the agricultural revolution, which is what led to the rise of civilization as we know it. All of that from a loaf of bread. But bread has not stayed the same since its dawn 15,000 years ago. It has changed and has many varieties, used different grains. And even, of course, as our friend Betty will attest, it has changed as recently as the 20th century. Now, even in the last 100 years, there have been modern revolutions in agriculture. It was believed in the early 20th century that human population could not exceed 3 billion people because there would just not be enough food to feed everybody. Of course, now, world population is 2.5 times that amount. What happened? Well, we figured out how to cultivate wheat in a different way, which now may even allow us to reach 20 billion people on Earth. Bread is such a common part of the Western diet that the word bread is associated with nourishment itself. And because of this, bread has become even a metaphor for anything that might give life. I am the bread of life. Give us today our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. The Bible is full of these images. And in fact, it often makes a comparison between bread and spirit. It should be little wonder then what the central ritual of the church involves, none other than bread. Of course, my favorite line about that is, when you look at those little wafers, someone once said, "I have no problem believing that's really the body of Christ. I do have problems believing that's really bread." We are going to hear over the next several weeks passages from John chapter 6, this Bread of Life series that always falls in the middle of year B, sometime in the middle of summer. Started actually last week with the feeding of the multitudes. But we're going to continue hearing, as Jesus said today, "I am the bread of life," these passages around the bread of life. And I'm going to pull this discourse apart over this in the next couple of weeks and have 3 separate sermons in this series. I'm going to talk about bread as nourishment, bread as sacrament, and bread as metaphor. So today I'm going to focus on bread as nourishment, how God feeds our physical needs. Now, last week we started off this series with, as I mentioned, the feeding of the 5,000. As Jeff rightly mentioned, of course, it's not just 5,000. It was 5,000 men and women and children, which means it was probably somewhere around 20,000 people, which is a pretty astronomical number to imagine being able to feed with such little on hand. You know, feeding is kind of an interesting thing. We talk about these miracles around feeding. It's easy to imagine that much of our faith life is supposed to just be about our spiritual selves. We tend to think that faith is really about things like prayer or guidance or life after death. Now, these are very important parts of our faith life because they are eternal. But what's interesting about this is Scripture, actually, when you look at Scripture, God seems to be very interested not just in our spiritual selves, but in our physical needs. Think about some miracles in the Bible, ones you just might know offhand or think about. If you look at the miracles in the Bible, nearly all of them, with a few notable exceptions, but nearly all of them have to do with our taking care of our bodily needs. Whether it is the saving of the Hebrew people through the parting of the Red Sea, or feeding them in the wilderness with the manna, or might be Elijah and the widow and her son saving them with the miracle of the flour. As we heard about the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the multitudes, there is story after story after story of healing, and even stories of raising the dead. The Bible is very interested in our physical needs. But even more than that, when God calls us to care for one another, you don't just hear God say, talking about others, to go pray for them or to wish them well, that platitude that has seemed to have developed, our thoughts and prayers are with you. No, that's not what God calls us to do for others. God says, when we're caring for others, to feed them. God says to clothe them. God says to care for them when they are sick. The reason these crowds have been following Jesus around in these gospel stories is because of his healing. And then after they were healed from their illnesses, he feeds them. And Jesus even calls them out on this in today's gospel. When they find Jesus, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Now you can imagine at this point everybody's kind of going, looking over the shoulder. So me? No, it was her. It was her. Well, you know, it's so easy to criticize the crowds, and it's easy to criticize human nature. Because Jesus, of course, did give them signs. He did call them to repentance. He did have interesting teachings, but they were, of course, very interested in what Jesus could do for them physically. But you can't blame them, because people always do this. People are always concerned with their physical needs. And you think about, when do we know we are loved? There are few ways more to know that you are loved than to be fed in abundance. What, when you meet up with your family for, say, holidays, what do? You eat. Who cares for you when you're sick? It's people who love you. So the crowds then asked Jesus, "What sign are you going to give to us then that we may see it and believe you?" You know, as if healing and feeding weren't enough. "What sign are you going to give us? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They fully recognize the care that they have been given. And this is precisely why taking care of the body is important. It's easy to wonder why physical needs are cared for when the body is perishable. Many of us are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. What's down at the bottom? It's food and shelter and clothing. It's those very basics. Before you get to things like education and all those other things, and then you get to the top where you get up at the top of that, which is sort of self-realization or self-actualization. But you need to take care of all those other needs first. And sometimes, of course, deeply spiritual people can intentionally fast, and that is helpful for them. But for most of us, the reality is it's hard to pray over the sound of our stomachs growling. So God takes care of our physical needs. But you might say, but what about when God doesn't? And the problem is that. It is a problem. Quite often we can point out cases when one's physical needs were not taken care of. People die of disease, sometimes even at young ages. People starve, people drown, people die of dehydration. And a lot of times Christians try to come up for reasons why this might be. Honestly, I don't know why these things happen. I don't know why God allows human sufferings. It is one of the troubling mysteries of faith, and it is something that our human minds cannot fully understand. And it is something for which I have never heard, although I've heard many reasons, I have never heard a satisfying answer. But then, I also recognize something else. That amidst great suffering, people quite often exhibit great faith. You think about stories from the Holocaust or people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, people like Niemöller, who suffered through such horrific events and yet exhibited faith in God until the end. Now, I don't believe that this is why people suffer. I don't believe that God makes this happen so that we will exhibit faith. God is not sadistic and manipulative like human beings are. But God has a tendency to take what is tragic and horrible and out of that to pull something wonderful and miraculous. God takes what is bad and creates something good. Out of darkness comes light. And this problem is going to lead me into the next couple installments of this sermon series. So stay tuned. But we can see that while people's physical needs sometimes are not met, it is tragic. But it's only tragic for a reason. And it's tragic because we can see that these are not the rule, but they are the exceptions. If someone starves, it is shocking. And it's shocking because we live every day getting fed 3 square meals a day, or at least every day we eat. We have a miracle 3 times a day. We don't even think about it. It is completely normal. It is so normal, it is invisible. If someone succumbs to an illness, especially at a young age, we're appalled because we are used to seeing young people live into middle age and even into old age. It's normal. It is the miracle that we are given health day after day after day. We are shocked by these because they are not normal occurrences, and that's why they stand out. But the reality is that we are all here because we experience miracles every single day of our lives that have brought us from birth to this very point. Up to now, God has cared for each one of our physical needs. And with that in mind, while we can think about all those other times of tragedy, sometimes we just have to step back and respond with gratitude. Amen.